Welcome to Victory Life Family Church. As you can see, we're a family of believers. Welcome to you online. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise God. If you all don't mind, I didn't have my mic on. And so we want to wave again to Pastor Rodney. Hi, we love you. We miss you. Come home to us. Praise God. Well, you may be seated. Amen. It helps to have your microphone on. Praise God. Well, we thank you to our first-time guests this morning. And if you want to learn more about us, our website is vlfc.church. And there's all our past sermons there, all our past notes, audio, video. We're also on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. Sundays, doors open at 9. And pre-service prayer is 9:20 to 9:40. And service starts at 10. So come early for coffee and fellowship. We will not have Wednesday night home group this week, so just so you know, but we are having our women's ministry Christmas party this Saturday from 10 to noon. So we hope all of you ladies can make it. And we're going to have a brunch, just enjoy one another, have a white elephant gift exchange, and just have a good time together, getting to be together. So praise God, it's good to get together. Also, over here on the table, there's a sign-up sheet. We're working with our local Salvation Army and the churches in the area. It's our local ministerial alliance. And so Victory Life Family Church has signed up to ring the Salvation Army bell on December 19th. It's a Friday. We still have a few more slots. We can do it in 1 hour slots. You can do it individually, as a couple, as a family, or a group. However, you know, you want to do that. And we're thankful for that. Also, just so you know, this is for our local ministerial alliance. And so 90% of these funds stay here in Ogallala, and it goes to help people with their utilities, their prescriptions, transportation, and other needs here in the community. And so we're going to be a part of that as well. So as you know, Pastor Rodney, he is in Israel right now. This is his last day there. It is, I think, about 8:30 there. If I'm thinking right, he's 9 hours ahead. And so, it's about his evening time there. So every night when I'm going to bed, he's waking up. And so he's telling me good morning. I'm telling him good morning. He's telling me good night. And so it's been a fun week following the journey. I hope that you all have been able to see that on Facebook. I've been doing the posts, keeping up day by day. This morning, they had a service at the Mount of Olives. And whew, praise God. It just touches me, you know? I got my little Israel pin and American flag here. So praise God. Praise God. And then they had a praise and worship service. Ooh, might have to hand it over to Kimberly this morning. And then they were going to have a final ceremony graduation from what they've done this week. There, it's a 1,000 pastors, and he thought there were actually about 1,100 there. And they are training them to be ambassadors, to come back and to preach from the pulpit against the propaganda that's been going on against Israel, and really to see and know and experience what is happening over in Israel. And so Benjamin Netanyahu is supposed to be there this morning. So I haven't heard if that was, you know, final. I mean, it was final, but, you know, I just am looking forward to seeing more about that. And so, and I have a little something that he told me yesterday, was that next Sunday he's bringing a little something back for you all. So he's been thinking about you. And so come to church and see what it is. Praise God. Also, we here at Victory Life Family Church, we're thanking God for our building. And we see it by the eye of faith that we have a building with the sanctuary, with the classrooms, with the nice parking lot for plenty of parking, prayer rooms, prayer teams, children's ministry, youth ministry. And so we're keeping our vision on that. And so if you are also wanting to volunteer, just come see us. We have our media mission launched. And this morning, I didn't bring all of that because Pastor Rodney, he's the expert on that right now. But if you want to learn, please come talk to us about that. And we'll begin setting that up as well next week. And so praise God with that. It's offering time. And this morning, I just have a scripture I want to read in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6:38. Praise God. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe," the Amplified Classic says. "For with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on other, is the same measure that you're going to get back." And so we at Victory Life Family Church always say our motivation for accumulation is distribution. We want to be able to be a blessing to others. And so when you sow a seed, we know that a harvest is coming. Amen. I always say tomato. I must really like BLTs. Maybe I like tomato pies. But if you plant a tomato seed, what are you going to get? Tomatoes. Amen. Praise God. So we understand the law of seed time and harvest, of sowing and reaping. And one other scripture the Lord put on my heart this morning is Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Psalm 5, 11 and 12 in the Amplified Classic. "But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy, because you make a covering over them and you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits. For you, Lord, bless the righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you. As with a shield, you surround us with goodwill, with pleasure, and with favor." So we declare this is a favor week for each and every one of us. Amen. Praise God. Let's say our offering confessions together this morning. Let me make sure I have them. Okay. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So if you're giving in the room, there's an offering envelope under your seat or under the seat in front of you. If you're writing a check, please write it to VLFC. If you're giving by cash or card, please make sure to fill that top part out with your name and your address. And if you're giving by check, you can write it to VLFC. If you're giving online, the information is on your screen and you may pass the basket. Praise God. Well, it's such an honor to be here and be a part of this service this morning and get to be with all of you. It's so wonderful to be here in the presence of the Lord, to be with family, to be with one another. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to share the word that the Lord's given me this morning. As I was praying, he gave me a specific word a while back, and the word was rest. Praise God, rest. And as the weeks went on, more of that unfolded. And so it may seem kind of a strange time or an odd time to hear the word rest, right? We're in this busy holiday season. There's so much more that's happening for a lot of us. Some people are traveling. You know, even if you're just here, you have more things to get ready for. The decorating alone takes another day or two or three, depending on how much you put up or not. But just all of the different and added things, the Christmas party, speaking of, you know, we pray the women's Christmas party this Saturday is refreshing to us. That's part of the prayer. We're going to come, we're going to be refreshed with one another, receive joy together and get to be together. But before I start this morning, I want to pray over our message. And I titled it Entering His Rest, and almost a better title would be Coming to Him and Receiving Rest. But let's pray over this word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to receive the word that you have for us as a body. I thank you, Father, as I open my mouth that you fill it. Not my words, but yours to the people, to those hearing and watching, and that they and we all have ears to hear what you're saying to us, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. We say no to distractions, but that as we hear this word, that we're going to take it and we're going to apply action to it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, you all know what to do. Hold up your Bible. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do everything the Word says I can do, and I will do it. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, our opening text this morning, and does everybody have their notes? Okay, I just put down the scriptures on our notes today. And our opening text is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, and it's in the Amplified Classic. So then there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest, reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered God's rest has also ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors, just as God rested from those labors, his own. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter the rest of God. To know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. I like how it says, still awaiting the complete Sabbath. Yesterday, when I talked to Pastor Rodney, they were walking around in an old city, Jerusalem, and it was actually their Sabbath. Their Sabbath over there starts Friday night, our time. And so he said it was very quiet there. All the shops were closed. You know, they were able to walk around. And so he didn't get to see the hustle and bustle of what it would have been like that day because of the Sabbath, nobody's working. And so when I saw that, I thought that was so neat. And so we too are to enter the rest. But this morning we're talking about entering his rest and coming to him. So that means we're being connected to him vitally. Connected to the true vine who is Jesus. It's important how we live our lives. And so in the midst of this busy holiday season, now more than ever, it's important to come to him, to drink him in, his mercy, his grace, his love, to be strengthened to what he's calling us to do. Amen. So when we're strengthened in his presence, we're receiving him and it's able to outflow to the other people around us. If you just think about it, there's a lot of hustle and bustle around. I mean, even though this is Ogallala and it is a small rural community, it still is a lot of hustle and bustle. It still, we all have families. And even in this, you know, receiving rest in the midst of a busy holiday season, it can be a stressful time. It can be a time where maybe you're missing a loved one, whether they're in another state or they went on to glory, right? And so this can be a time that we need to come to him. We need to come and we need to receive of him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, I'm meek, I'm humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest. And the Amplified Classic says relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and a blessed quiet for your souls. How many can use a blessed quiet for our soul? Amen. For my yoke, he says, is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. And I love this because it tells us how our character should be. Not harsh, not hard, sharp, pressing, you know. So we're taking this yoke upon us this morning. He says, come to me. That's an amplified invitation that he is giving to all of us. And there are things that he has to give us that no one else can give us, no matter how wonderful those people are, right? He is God. He is Lord. He is the one who has and is the living water. And he's the one who called you and you called on, and he recreated your spirit by his grace. Amen. So our instruction here is to take his yoke upon us. Well, what is a yoke? How many of you have seen one recently? Maybe some of you have. We don't hear about it too much around here in these times. You know, when I was a kid and I heard this scripture, I thought it was talking about an egg yolk. But in this analogy, Jesus is talking about the yolks used on a farm. So I'm going to tell you about it, and it's in your notes, I believe. A yoke is a wooden beam that is sometimes used between a pair of oxen or other animals to help them work together when pulling a load. It is literally defined as a device for joining together a pair of draft animals, especially oxen, which you'll see a picture there. I put that for you. And online, maybe we'll put one up as we put the sermon up. It's a device for joining together a pair of draft animals, especially oxen, usually consisting of a cross piece with two bow-shaped pieces, each enclosing the head of an animal. So you see that there are two together, they're walking together in sync. Two oxen would be yoked together so that they would stay in step with one another. The more mature one had the attitude and ability to make this work. So the yoke of Jesus is not about being legalistic, adherence to rules, but it's about a relationship that guides and supports. It's a call to let go of the heavy burdens of guilt, shame, and the expectations of others. Can somebody say amen? Praise God. Accepting Jesus's yoke means finding alignment with his direction and purpose, allowing his strength to carry the load and provide the rest that is so deeply needed. It also represents teamwork, cooperation, you know, serving others. You see the oxen, they're out working, but even the blessing of the Lord says, the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, makes rich. He adds no sorrow with it. And the Amplified Classic says, neither does toiling increase it. And so he's not asking us to toil. He's not asking us to be legalistic. He's asking us to take his yoke upon us. However, the word yoke can also be used to symbolize oppression and slavery. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, God warns the Israelites if they disobey him, he'll put a yoke of iron around their neck. That's Deuteronomy 28:48. That means the enemies will enslave them. So when we're disobedient to the Lord, we're not in yoke with him. We're actually yoking up with the enemy, and that's enslaving us. So this is an example right here. Jesus is saying, take my yoke. It's easy. It's light. And you think about that. It's like he's inviting us to take his yoke upon him. It's easy. It's light. You can just feel and sense the peace in that, right? But when we're disobedient because our flesh is literally driving us somewhere else, that yoke becomes a yoke of bondage. It becomes a yoke of slavery. And not only that, it's taking you on the wrong path, that you're not under that protection of God. And so easy and light. How many of you want easy and light? Praise God. I know I do. So here's some examples of being yoked. And I have some of the scriptures a little bit further down. But when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he meant that we are to submit ourselves to him every day in every way. Again, a yoke was made of wood, hand carved to fit the neck and shoulders of the animal to prevent pain or discomfort. In ancient culture, the word yoke was a term that was used to describe submission. So when someone was described as being yoked to someone or something, it's communicated the idea that he or she was submitting to that person or that thing. So to be yoked to Jesus is to be served and follow him. So consider this, everyone is yoked to someone or something, and maybe someone or some things, right? Plural. Maybe there's more than one, but we want to be yoked with Jesus, because when we're yoked together with him, we're yoked together with his plan. So the question is, to whom or what do you want to be yoked to? Some are yoked to the power of sin. They're under its control. Some are yoked in a relationship with unbelievers. And the Bible warns us very specifically about that. And the scriptures are here for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? And we are the children of light. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. There's two more scriptures. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery or bondage. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, Isaiah says in chapter 58, verse 6, to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Jesus, if you're willing, releases the yoke of our oppression and desires us to take his yoke on us instead. And we can see here it's good to fast. There's things going on in our life. So we can even think about it right now. If you just take a moment as we're saying this, Holy Spirit's ministering to us. Yes, we're yoked with him, but is there something else we're yoked to? Is there something else that's pulling us another way and taking us on a harder road? Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. And Jesus is saying, that's my yoke. When we yoke ourselves to Jesus, we're being yoked to, and I put this in your notes, we're being yoked to the Prince of Peace. The Almighty One, the Alpha, the Omega, our Advocate, the Author and Protector of our faith, the Bread of Life, the Beloved Son of God, our Chief Cornerstone, our Deliverer, our Faithful One, our Good Shepherd, the Great High Priest, the Head of the Church, the Holy Servant, the Great I Am, Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, the Light of the World, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Lord of all, our Mediator, the Messiah, the Mighty One, the One who sets us free and makes us free, our Hope, Prophet, Redeemer, Risen Lord, our Rock, the Sacrifice for our sins, our Savior. Whew. He's the one who saves. He didn't just save us eternally in our spirit to make us a new creation in Christ and save us from hell. He is literally saving us every day in every way, in decisions and things and people and whatever it is going on in life. He is a Savior who saves. He didn't stop there. The supreme creator over all, the resurrection and the life. He's the door. He's the way. He's the word. He's the true vine. He's truth. And he's the victorious one who's given us the victory. Hallelujah. Can you shout amen this morning? Praise God. And this is why we're celebrating this Christmas, right? He is the one, Jesus, and we give him all the glory for that. So we see who he is here. We see who we want to be yoked with. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, this is awesome because it tells us we can trust him, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and recognize him and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. So another part of being able to come to him when he's inviting us is that we must know that we can trust him and be confident in him, in his goodness, in his faithfulness, in who he is. You think about a child, right? When you know them and they know you, they run to you. They give you that hug, right? They come to you, your grandchildren, your children, those that you know. But what about a child that you see and they don't know you and you say hi to them? They might give you that funny look, turn from you, grab on to mom or dad, and they're not quite sure, right? Okay, but we know who Jesus is, so we can run to him. You know, yesterday I had the honor of working at an event, and there were several children there, and I know these children, and but they saw me in a different setting. But every one of them still knew me from a little baby, a one-year-old, a little bit and a little bit higher. And they all came to me. They all ran to me and smiled. That made my heart happy. That blessed me so much that they came to me. And so we know that we can come to him because of who he is. We trust him. So praise God. But you know what? Here's the thing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we're getting burnt out on the holiday season, okay? Apart from him, everything is becoming a struggle. Apart from him, we're not making the right choices. Apart from him, we're not seeing what we're supposed to see in our day. It takes effort, okay? Light and easy, but it takes effort. There is an effort to come to him, but are we too busy for him? John chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. So living our lives apart from God causes us to be unfruitful, empty, void. We don't have an outflow of God in our lives, not only for ourselves, but for others around us. And if we don't have that, if you think about it, those around us are all going through things. And if we're not connected to the vine, to the source and rooted in him, their stress is going to become our stress. Their offense could become our offense. You know, their situation all of a sudden tries to come on us. But when we're rooted and grounded in him, when we have that life of God is going to flow out of us and swallow up their situation, and we can minister to them. Even so, I have a sermon illustration. This was a lemon plant. Now, do you see any lemons on this plant? No, it's a little, I bet if I squeeze this hard, you know, these leaves are just going to crunch away. Do these roots look alive to you anymore? No, I think these roots are pretty dried up and they're about to crack and they're about to give way. But I want to show you that this plant is not in any soil. Right? It's not connected to anything. It's definitely not going to bear any fruit. It's withered away. It's all alone. You know, God didn't call us to be the Lone Ranger. We need one another. We need to come together. You know, if somebody's having a bad day, we can come up and hook up with somebody and say, pray for me. Join your faith with my faith. You know, come together, receive the joy, like what we're going to do at our women's ministry meeting. Sometimes we don't feel like coming to church. Sometimes we don't feel like spending the time, right? But God says, if you do, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be abiding. And we don't want to be like this all alone. We don't want to be shriveled up to be left. And in the word, he actually says, if a person does not dwell in me, he's thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. How easily is a dried up branch burned? Just like that. It doesn't take much, does it? So we know that we want to be connected to him. I know I want to be connected to him. I reference Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 here. May we, and this is a prayer that we pray over you. Pastor Rodney and I, we pray the Pauline prayers over us as a church daily. And mom, thank you for leading pre-service prayer today. What a blessing that she is. What a blessing you all are. But, you know, we prayed our Pauline prayer. And here it says, may you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. So when we're rooted in love himself, there is a security with being rooted in that love. So next, how do we do this? There's another invitation in John chapter 7, verse 37. And as you're turning there or looking at that, I'm going to get a drink. Isn't it good to know him? Isn't it good to come to him? And I'd say right now we're coming to him. Praise God, we're coming to him. John 7:37 says, now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And when you rest, just think about it, usually someone who needs rest is thirsty. So I was thinking about, like you see in the movies, because this never happened to me, and I hope it's never happened to you, but I've seen in the movies where someone is walking across the hot desert. They have nothing. Their horse ran away. They're all alone, and they're going across that desert. It's a hot sun. It's hot sand. They're just, you know, barely making it. All of a sudden, that sand starts to look like a big ocean of water, and they go to jump in it, but it's just more sand. And, you know, they might fall over and they might get back up. But guess what? They finally make it to a tent where there's shade and they get to sit down. And what's the first thing that they want? They want water. And Jesus here is saying, come to me and drink. He's inviting us. You know, I used to work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. What a glorious place. It's just a glorious place there. I get to work it for Victory Life Family Church. And I also work for Pathways Pregnancy and Resource Center here in town. It's a Christ-centered ministry. These are all ministries. But just because I'm going to work at a ministry, just because we're coming to church, doesn't necessarily mean we're coming to him. Ask me how I know. You can come to church and you could dry off if you're not being connected. You could go to work and you could dry off if you're not being connected. So we need to come to him. Just because you're in a garage, does it make you a car? No. Okay. So praise God. If we'll just do what we do with our cars, they must come off the road sometimes to get gas. Or if you're a Tesla, plug into that electronic thing, right? They tend to stop if they don't, right? If you don't put gas in your car, it doesn't matter if it's the most beautiful car, the most amazing car, the most expensive car. These cars still need fuel. And being on the road with other cars is only going to take them so far. The momentum of being on the road with other cars is only going to take you so far. So there comes a time where we need to refuel. And if you run out of gas, well, you got to call somebody, right? It's a humbling thing. Again, ask me how I know. Although it's been since my teenage years, so it's a long time ago. But, you know, you call someone and then they go get a can and they go get the gas and then they bring it to you, right? And then you can get back on the road and get on your way and you can go as far as that gas takes you till you run out again and you got to call somebody again and say, can you bring me some more gas? Well, sometimes people live for those calls spiritually, right? They wait all the way until they completely run out of gas. And you know, it's good for other people to go to the throne. It's good for me to go to the throne and get a message. It's good for Pastor Rodney to go to the throne for us. We depend on him. We want to hear that word. He's coming and he's getting it and he's coming to bring it to us, right? But what God did through Jesus is he gave us all access to the same throne. And he invites us to come fill our tank. Praise God. So sometimes we get embarrassed when we have a need. We're all here. We're all family. We don't have to be embarrassed. But think of it. Every time we're going to the gas station, we're declaring, I have a need, right? Every time we're going to the grocery store, we're acknowledging, I have a need. I need some food, probably ice creams in there. How embarrassing, I ran out of ice cream. No. Okay, maybe a need would be spinach. Okay, yes. A need is some fruits and vegetables, some good healthy food. But think about it, right? Your house could be almost out of groceries and you could come in embarrassed to the store because other people are going to know you're shopping for food in your house because you have a need. No. You get close to the store and somebody calls you, right? And they say, where are you? And you say, I'm at Safeway. Well, yeah, you're at Safeway, but that's not going to get food in your belly. Being in the parking lot of Safeway is not going to get food in your belly. We don't even think about this, right? We go into the store and we go boldly. We even go in, we grab a cart, a big cart a lot of times, and we just start filling that thing up. And, you know, we're not shy about it. Okay? We don't go to just look. If I was just going up and down the aisles and someone says, what are you doing? I say, oh, I'm just looking. They might think, well, that's pretty ridiculous, right? Well, you know, my husband does go to the store and look, I would have to say. He's a researcher and he does compare the labels, right? And he's a cook and he likes to do all that. And so I appreciate all the good cooking. But I go in, I'm on a mission, right? We go in boldly to the grocery store. Up and down the aisles we go because there's a need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 in your notes. It says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace in good time for every need. Appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Praise God. That we maintain mercy is usually a reason why, when we need that mercy, is usually why people don't come in boldly, because they're actually embarrassed, they're feeling down, maybe feeling defeated. You know, maybe it's just a lot to come to him at that point. Well, that's when you just sit in his presence and you say, I'm coming to you, Father. He provided that way to get mercy. I've come to get mercy. And, you know, I might be in an absolute state But come get it. Does anybody need some mercy this morning? Praise God. We all need mercy. He's got loads of it, and he restocks the shelves every single day. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Let's all say that together. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. Praise God. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so we find mercy to help us, and we also gain and receive grace. And we don't come to the throne to do something. We come to receive of him. So this isn't hard. Again, take my yoke upon me, he said, upon you. It's light. It's easy. We can just come and receive. We need to recognize when things are getting out of control. Again, we don't want to be that gas tank call to gas tank call. Let's go ahead of time. You know, the thing is, there's people who actually restock their refrigerator before it runs out. You know those people, right? Praise God. They're amongst us. There's actually people that fill their tank of gas before it's on fumes. And I dare even say before it's halfway empty, right? I learned that growing up. Plus, we're in Nebraska. It's cold here. This is the winter. We don't want to get our gas tanks down low. So there's people that actually fill their tanks of gas before they even hit the halfway mark. And so we can be those people continually topping off, right? Spiritually coming to him before we're on fumes. Coming to him before we're on fumes. Don't wait. It doesn't cost us any money. But it does cost us some time. And I just want to encourage you. You know, this is how we live. I learned it from my mom. Every day, first thing in the morning, I get up, let my dogs out, get my coffee, you know, get everything settled and go straight into the Word of God and spend that time with him. Every morning, that's the first thing. If I only had 10 minutes, I would take that 10 minutes first with him. There's nothing better than spending that time in his presence. But we're spending time in his presence to receive of him because, again, we're not coming in to do something. Sometimes we always feel like we have to do something. We're doing. We have this, we have that. No, it's important to come into his presence and to just receive of him. And this morning, we're going to do that for a little bit. But this is so good. Again, I use this example a lot. Before we get on Facebook, before we get on our text messages, before we start working, you know, this happens, that happens. I really like to get up extra early because then you have that time. Well, what if you didn't make it? I mean, at least read a scripture. Do something. Acknowledge him. We're the ones. We can prevent spiritual apathy. We can prevent running on fumes. We can prevent the stress in our lives because Jesus was calm in the midst of the storm, right? And he even spoke to it. He said, "Peace, be still." So he's given us the authority. He's given us the power. Luke 10:19. I'm just going to read this. God is so good. I'm so thankful for this message this morning because it's not your typical Christmas season message, but he put that in me to minister about coming to him to receive rest. And again, it could be going all around you. There's a lot going on. You know, we all have things going on in our life, but if it takes just, it's all going on, just go sit down somewhere quiet and just focus on him. Just focus on him. Close your eyes. Put your mind on him. You have this in your notes. I even I gave you all about who he is. Who he is, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty One. Just read over that. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. He's my Deliverer. He's the Faithful One. He's the one who sets me free. Praise God. So come to him. Amen. Come to him. And so all we need to do is take the time. And so this morning, as we're getting ready to close online, we just want to come to him this morning. And we're just going to pray together before we close out online, because we always do the salvation prayer. But this is an example. And if you just want to close your eyes for a moment, and I just want to pray for you this morning. Each and every one of us, we still have a few weeks left in this Christmas season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for the people here. And Jesus, we do. We come to you. You are the living water. And we come to fill up our tanks this morning. And a big part of the way we do that is even praying in other tongues. He said, rivers of living water flow from us. This is an example of praying in tongues and coming to him. You know, Jude chapter 20, and I'm going to read that as we're just here in his presence this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you that we can take your yoke upon us and that it's easy, that it's light. And in Jude 20, the word says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for rivers of living water flowing through us, that we never have to be dry, but we hunger and we thirst for you in our lives. We thank you that we can take the time. No matter how busy we are, no matter how fast-paced it's going on around us, that we can put ourselves into you and we can come to you and we can receive freely of the bread of life. Life. I pray life over each and every one here. Father, I thank you right now for the anointed one and his anointing on our lives, in our homes. And Father, that you heal every hurt. Those, Father, that are missing loved ones during this time. That, Father, you minister to them your love, your comfort, your peace, your joy. That we can have joy. That we can have peace because of who you are and who we are in you. And so we're going to take this with us this holiday season. And I thank you, we as a family and a body at Victory Life Family Church, that wherever we go, your presence is there. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you and we receive of your goodness today. We receive of your faith. And Jesus, you are our healer, spirit, soul, and body. And we thank you right now for that healing touch, that healing anointing. Praise God. If anyone needs healing in their body and you want to come up here, you're welcome to come up here. And I would be honored to pray with you right now in the name of Jesus. Because he's here and he wants to touch you. Those watching right where you are, just receive your healing. Jesus is here. He's here and he's faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. So as we come to you, Lord, we thank you that you're increasing our strength. And one last scripture before we go in Isaiah chapter 40. Thank you, Lord. Verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and to abound. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall stumble and be exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God, as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. And I speak this over us. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not become faint or tired, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. So this morning, as we're getting ready to close, if you all want to stand, if you can, praise God. We want to give an opportunity. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's here. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Thank you, Lord. Wow. He's doing something in this place today. Thank you, Father. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, and that you sent him to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you raised him from the dead, and I confess him as my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart, into my life, and take my life and do something wonderful with it. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, you are eternally saved 100%. You're going to heaven and living out this life. Glory to God. And share that with somebody else. Amen. People need Jesus. This is a time where hearts are open and ready. And I believe that God is ministering to people around us. And you know, in this service, I mentioned speaking in tongues, and we spoke in tongues. And so we just want to take a moment and share with you that Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I want to say Pastor Rodney went to that place, the upper room. Praise God. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 5 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. And we're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the tongues and interpretation, but he's talking about the devotional tongues. And so if you desire to have your prayer language that will get you through this life full of the power of God, impacting those around you. Because Jesus and, you know, Peter, he denied Jesus, right? But then after that, he got filled with the Holy Spirit and he went about boldly. Praise God. The Holy Spirit, he gives us boldness. And so if you desire your prayer language, let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, I am asking you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as you did on the day of Pentecost. Right now, by faith, I receive it. And as I open my mouth, I will speak in my heavenly prayer language. So right now, he doesn't do the opening of your mouth for you. Just open your mouth and we'll just take a couple minutes and pray in tongues together. We thank you, Father, and we thank you, Jesus, for baptizing us in Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you. And we give you glory and honor for this day. We give you glory and honor for this time. And may this word that we receive today go with us, not just throughout the holiday season, but you will see a difference in it. But also continued on. And may you all know how special, how valued you are to the Lord and to Pastor Rodney and myself. Praise God. Well, thank you today for coming. And we'll go ahead and close out online if you want to say it with me. God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.